morning, everyone. Isn't it a glorious day to worship the Lord? And thank you for joining us in worship this morning. Are new employees still up there? Yeah, up in that corner. We have some new employees, and they're here just for a few moments. They're new employees to the Croc Center, so we just want to welcome them. They're right there. Thank you for joining us today. If any new looking for employment, we have lots of openings here. It's a plug. But thank you for joining us for your orientation this morning. It was a good weekend. You know, on Friday night, we had our father-daughter tea. And those of you who were there, I know you had a good time. I wanted to share a couple of photos from that evening. So there we go. That's my daughter, Gabby. Is Gabby here today? She's here somewhere. But we had a great time. We dressed up. There was a photo booth. Here, let me see the next photo. Oh, those were all the dads. You know, it was a tea party. So we had to do I'm a Little Teapot, right? So that was a little game that the dads and the girls were playing. Here's another shot. There you go. There's Matt Ball right there. He makes a wonderful teapot, doesn't he? And there's Mike Perkins with his rabbit ears on. What's the next shot? It was great. Yeah, we had lots of food there. You know, the ladies of the church actually did the spread for us. And so, of course, at a tea party, there was tea. There was those little tiny dainty sandwiches. Yuck. And some soup and salad. But they also had some good stuff for us, guys. There were some chicken wings, some chicken nuggets. So it was all good. But it was beautifully decorated. And let's see the next photo. It was just good to see dads with their daughters just having a good time. They were playing games. We were painting. You had a chance to paint and do some creative things together with fathers and daughters. And it was just great to see families just having a great time. And then the last photo there, yes, more fathers and daughters just having a good time. So I just want to say thank you to the ladies particularly who put that on. But, you know, that relationship between a father and daughter, that's so important. Our daughters need that. They need to know that their father cares about them, that they give them a sense of approval. And we're just thankful that we have our own loving Heavenly Father who is our Father. Well, this morning we're continuing in our sermon series that we've looked at for the last several weeks. And it's entitled, To Be Like Jesus, Hitting the Mark. And you see the targets that we have up here. And our goal as believers, as Christians, is to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? Yeah, good. I'm glad. To be like Jesus, hitting the mark. And let me go through what we studied the last several weeks. So these are some of the marks of a disciple. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, are those marks evident in my life? Are those traits, are those characteristics evident in my life? The first one we looked at, a disciple loves God. Remember, it's a personal relationship that we have with God. Remember, QT equals QR, quality time equals quality relationship. That takes place in all of our relationships, but particularly in our relationship with God. If we spend quality time with God, we'll be able to cultivate and develop a quality relationship with God. And in the second week, a true disciple loves other believers. And we learned that it wasn't just love your neighbor as yourself, but it was love others as Jesus loves them. So that sets the bar even higher. That we need to learn to love others, particularly others in the family of believers, with the love of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we looked at a disciple needs to be committed to Scripture. And we know that's our first doctrine here in the Salvation Army. We believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament were given by inspiration of God and that they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. Everything we believe, everything we do is based on God's Holy Word. So as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to be committed to the Word of God. And then we learned that we need to be surrendered to Jesus' Lordship. We need to give Him complete control of our life. We need to say, Jesus, you take the wheel. You're the driver. I'm just a passenger. Completely surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then we heard about sharing the good news. As a disciple of Jesus, we have good news to share. We need to tell others our Jesus story, to let them know what's going on in my life, and they can have the same thing take place in their life as well. And then, of course, last week, we learned that we need to grow in faith by prayer. Major Debbie spoke about push, pray until something happens. And we need to check our prayer life. And today, Today we're looking at the trait of being obedient. A true mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ is one who obeys Jesus in the routines of life. Obedience. Not a pretty word, is it? As I was preparing for the sermon, it was a little bit difficult for me because you're supposed to practice what you preach. And it's not always easy to practice obedience. But we're going to make it through this sermon. So let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you because you are a God who just is amazing. And we know, Lord, that your desire is for us to be more and more like your own Son, Jesus Christ, that we would take on his characteristics in the way we think, in the way we act, in the relationships that we have, that we would be more and more like Jesus. So that is our prayer today, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be obedient people. Help us, Lord, to know your word, to know your will, and to be obedient to that. So, Lord, bless us now this day as we search your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Obedience. The first lesson on obedience is found in the very beginning of the Bible. If you turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, you'll see, starting with verse 15, the very first lesson on obedience is right there at the very beginning. And this is after God had created everything. And it says in verse 15, "The Lord God took the man," that's Adam, "and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man," Adam, he said, "you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." That's the first lesson on obedience. For when you eat from it, you will surely die. God had created everything perfectly, beautiful. And he said, this is one lesson, the first lesson you must learn, Adam. One of the translations says in verse 17, "And the day that you should eat of that tree, you shall surely die." Which is God's way of saying, there are consequences. There are consequences of violating my rules. Even in the midst of all this awesome beauty and endless blessing that I've provided for you. And so that same principle of obedience still applies to us today. Blessings come with obedience, but disobedience brings problems, heartaches, and burdens. And it's true for your family and for mine as well. The first lesson we should teach our children is the lesson to obey. The Apostle Paul emphasized in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, and this is what he said. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Where's my daughter, Gabby? Is she here? This one's for you, Gabby. "Gabby, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So in the family, or let me see, where am I? "For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and so that you might live long on the earth." If you have any kids here right now, you can turn to them and say, and you can quote the Bible to them and say, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Go ahead, I give you permission. And if your children aren't here, but you see other kids, you can tell them the same thing too. So in the family, the first lesson we see is that children are to obey their parents. But we adults, we need to obey the Almighty God, who is the authority in our life. And when we do that the way we should, then we're going to teach our children to obey us. Think about this for a moment. You may have grown up in this kind of a family. Your family may have gone to church, or maybe they've taken you to church, or maybe they've just sent you to church. But then your father or mother may have, quote unquote, lived like the devil, but they expected you to be obedient to them and for you to live a godly life. And what that means is that there's conflict. There's awesome conflict. You see, in a child's mind, when a child knows right and wrong and he sees their parents who are the authority in their life. When they see them doing something opposite from what they taught, you set these children up for a lifestyle, first of all, of confusion and frustration and ultimately disobedience. So this morning, I would ask you this question. And I'm going to ask this question several times this morning, so you need to get used to it. And it's right here up on the screen. And it says, would you consider yourself an obedient person? You don't have to answer that. Just want you to think about it. Would you consider yourself an obedient person? You see, obedience starts in the morning. When you get up in the morning, do you ever think about starting the day by saying, Lord, I want you to help me to be sensitive today to the people I meet, to the things I face. And above all, I want to be obedient to you, Lord, and I always want to do the right thing. Why not start your day with the very thought that you want to be obedient to God that day? Now, it won't mean that you'll be perfect. It doesn't mean that you'll always do the right thing. But when you are a godly person and you live a life of obedience, when you do something wrong, or when you think something wrong, immediately the Holy Spirit of God will convict you of it. And you will decide right then and there if you're going to be obedient to God or not. And if you're a Spirit-filled Christian, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, that is someone under the control of and obedient to the Holy Spirit, then you're going to confess it. Confess means to just agree and acknowledge with God that what you've done or what you haven't done is not right in His sight. That you're going to confess it and ask God to forgive you of it, repent of it, and move on. 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses, and I quote it all the time because I need it for my own personal life. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. We need to claim that promise on a daily basis. So being a godly person doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. None of us are. But here's the difference. A godly person is going to immediately admit, confess what's happened, repent of it, and if they need to go to someone else and deal with it, say, I've offended you and I've confessed to God and repented, then I need to go to you and ask you for forgiveness. That's what an obedient person does. It's a little bit like in our relationship with Debbie and myself. Both of us are pretty strong-willed and stubborn. Every once in a while we get into a little disagreement, which turns into maybe an argument, maybe a fight. And sometimes we go our way and we do the silent treatment. But the Holy Spirit keeps convicting our hearts individually. And sometimes Debbie sends me a text about an hour or two later and it says, honey, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I love you. And I think, wow, that melts my heart. I should have done that first. But I'm more stubborn. Sometimes I do that because the Lord, the Holy Spirit just convicts me. But we need to keep that open. We need to have that free sense of, yeah, Lord, I'm not perfect and I blew it. But I can go to you for forgiveness, and then I can go to someone I love and ask for this forgiveness, and then that relationship can be right again. That's what it's all about. It's not about being perfect, but it's about being obedient to the Lord. In the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15, God is speaking to His people, and He says, but if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against His commands, His hand will be against you as it was against your ancestors. Now, what's the opposite of obedience? Disobedience? What else? In this verse, rebellion, right? Rebellion. And that is exactly what God is saying. If we choose not to obey Him, what we are doing is rebelling against the ultimate authority in our life, who is the Almighty God. And so when you ask yourself the question, am I an obedient person? Nobody can answer that except you. Let me put it this way. Do you have the attitude or mindset that you want to live an obedient life? You can call it obedient, or you can call it holy. You can call it a righteous life, a holy life. We all make mistakes, and we all sin at times. We say the wrong thing. We do the wrong thing. We think the wrong thoughts, and whatever it might be. But the way you deal with that, as I've said earlier, is to confess it, to ask God to forgive you, and then to move on. Not to linger there, but to move on. Because that's what God does. Because God knows that we are learning. We are learning to live the obedient life. We're in process. We're not finished yet. We're still learning. We don't come into the world knowing how to live a Christian life. But we learn and we grow, and thank God that He's patient with us. But we need to be growing and learning. So let's just clarify what we mean by obedience. You can see this one definition up here on the screen. It says obedience means doing what God says, how He says to do it, and when He says to do it. Let's all read that together, okay? Obedience is doing what God says, how He says to do it, and when He says to do it. You know, you can't eliminate any one of those. What He says, how He says to do it, and when He says to do it. Anything short of that is disobedience. Anything short of that is disobedience. And oftentimes we want to redefine the terms. But it's very clear as you go through the Bible, from Adam all the way through all the scriptures, it's very evident that God is our authority. And if we disobey Him, if I disobey Him, I am disobeying my ultimate authority. And when I obey Him, I am obeying my authority, the source of all the good things. God is an awesome God of love. And He knows that if we don't learn obedience, He knows what it's going to do to us. Now, it's not going to do anything to Him because He has absolute control of everything. And so obedience is absolutely essential in this life. And it pleases God. So if we disobey Him, we are actually rebelling. We're actually rebelling against God. Turn to the New Testament, into the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. And this is Jesus speaking, and He's with His disciples. And this is just a few short hours before Jesus is to be arrested and put on trial and then eventually crucified. So He's gathered His disciples, His closest followers with Him. And this is what He shares with them in this entire passage in John chapter 14. But let's look at verse 15 first. John chapter 14, verse 15. And this is Jesus speaking. And He tells His disciples, and He tells each and every one of us today. He says, if you love Me, you will do what? You will obey My commands. If you love Me, you will obey what I command. Now if you move down to verse 21, Jesus is still talking to that very same group. And He says this. He says, whoever has My commands and obeys them is the one who loves Me. And then go down to verse 23. And Jesus says this again in all in a few short moments. He repeats this several times, three times. And He says this in verse 23. Anyone who loves Me will obey My teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to take them, will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love Me will not obey My teaching. Jesus wanted to make it very clear. If you guys love Me, He told His disciples, you'll do what I tell you to do. You will remember what I said, and you will keep My commandments. If you and I love Jesus, we will keep His commands. If I were to say, how many of you love God? I'm sure everybody would raise their hand. But if I stopped and said, how many of you keep all the commandments of God? I'm sure a lot of us wouldn't raise our hand. You see, for the follower of Jesus, obedience is to be a way of life. Obedience is to be a way of life. Obedience is not only the law of God, it's not only the will of God, but it's the best way to live. It's the best way to live. And there's no substitute for obedience. You know, if God says, thou shalt not steal, what does he mean? Don't steal. Duh. Right? If God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, what does that mean? Don't sleep with another man's wife or another woman's husband. It's very clear. It's right there in black and white. Whatever God says holds true. You know, in our society today, in which we live, and we live, unfortunately, in a post-Christian society where the values are not Christian. And sometimes us in the church, we kind of get isolated. But that post-Christian culture is beginning to creep into the church as well. And we sometimes want to sort and manipulate and rationalize and justify things. And we can say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but that's an old book. It was written years ago. I know what the Word of God says, but that's not for me. That's for you. I know what the Bible says, but as long as I don't hurt anybody, I'll be okay. But we do that, don't we? In our own minds, and sometimes in our own lifestyles that we live, we change things and manipulate things. But God's Word never changes. His laws, his principles, they never change. And we can't improve on God. And if God says don't do something, or he says to do something, whatever it might be, it's because he's not trying to make us feel bad or sad. God is trying to protect us, remember? Because he loves us and he cares for us. When you tell your children, hey kids, don't play with matches, what are you telling them? You're telling them, one, I don't want you to burn the house down, and two, I don't want you to get hurt. There's a possibility you could get hurt if you play with matches. But so do you say, well, one match isn't going to hurt. Here, go ahead and have one. No, that's silly, isn't it? But that's exactly what other people do about other things. When they say one match won't hurt. Every alcoholic said, one drink won't hurt. Every addict on some other drug said, one hit won't hurt. One act of immorality won't hurt. You see how we justify things and rationalize things? You see, you don't even start with one. We obey God at his word. You see, obedience is the best way to live. It's not easy. Sometimes it's the hardest, but it's the best way to live. But why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Why is it so trying or so frustrating to try to live that obedient life? Well, I believe is because it tests us. It tests us. We find out who we really are in our relationship to God by our obedience to him. And so when I look at these passages of Scripture, and I've been through situations in my life, just like most of you have as well, that sometimes it's tough. It's not easy to be obedient. But thank God that each time I would stop and think and ask, what are the consequences? What are the consequences of my choices? And here's something worth writing down. There is no sin. There is no sin worth the consequences that you pay. And some of you know what I'm talking about. There is no sin worth the consequences that you pay. None, no matter what. And God gave us consequences that sometimes sting us, and they hurt us, and sometimes it painfully injures us. In order to do what? To get us to do the right thing. And so I ask you that question again this morning. Would you consider yourself an obedient person? Think of different scenarios. When you're filing your taxes, what does God say about honesty? When somebody wrongs you or offends you, how do you respond? What did God say about turning the other cheek and forgiveness? When your employer hires you to do a job, how much effort do you put in? What does God say about integrity? And we can go right on down the line. This is what God says. And if I were to ask you about this or about that, you'd probably give me the right answer about every single thing. You know why? Because both you and I know. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. We may not be able to quote that particular scripture verse, but we know what's right. And we know when something is wrong. And so we know what to do. We're aware of it. We're not ignorant. We know what to do. We know what God expects. It really is a matter of, do I really love God enough? Do I acknowledge His authority as I should in order to be obedient to Him? Obedience may be the difficult way, but it's the best way. Not sometimes, but every single time. So obedience, it's doing what God says, the way He says to do it, and when He says to do it. And so I ask the question again, would you consider yourself an obedient person? And I didn't say perfect, but obedient. Because if you are an obedient person and you do find yourself saying or thinking or doing something that is not right, again, it's the Holy Spirit who's going to come in to convict you. He'll make you become aware of what is not right. And hear this. John 16:8. When you trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at that moment that you trust Him, and even before that, the Holy Spirit is there. When you trust Jesus with your life, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He's there. And Jesus says in John 16:8 that the Holy Spirit will convict you of our sin and convict us of our sin, which means it makes us aware that we sin, and in order that we might confess it, repent it, and turn away from it. And that's one of His jobs. It's one of the Holy Spirit's roles, is to convict us of sin. And it's not a bad thing. But that's not the only role of the Holy Spirit. Because with that conviction, the Holy Spirit also is there to enable you and me to make the right decisions, to move forward, to do the right thing. The Holy Spirit allows us to be willing to confess when we've done the wrong thing and ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us. And then He helps us to get our life straightened out. So we have His help. We have the Holy Spirit. In fact, another name for the Holy Spirit is the Helper. He's the Helper. He's the one that comes alongside of us. And when we stumble on our journey, He's the one that comes alongside and picks us up. And when we're walking and going through the hills and the valleys, He's right there alongside of us. He empowers us. His presence is there. He encourages us. He's the encourager. It's the Holy Spirit. And He will show us what's wrong, and He will lead us to do what is right. And why? Why does He do that? Because God wants us to change. God wants us to be like Jesus, like His Son. He wants to grow and cultivate and develop our character so that we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to change an attitude, or perhaps He wants to change an action, or He wants to change a habit that's holding us back. And quite often today, people find themselves with habits or an attitude in their life that they don't know how to handle. And maybe some of you are dealing with some of these things. Maybe it's pornography. Or maybe it's an anger issue that you can't get a handle on. Or maybe it's an addiction. And you just say, I just can't do it. I can't handle it. I can't overcome it. In your own strength, maybe you can't, but with the strength of the sovereign God of the universe, you can overcome it. Because you have the power of Almighty God through the Holy Spirit to enable you to do what is right. He promises the power to do what is right, to be obedient. You know, we can't do it on our own. When I ask the question, am I an obedient person? Well, I've been trying. But if we're doing it all on our own, but God doesn't expect to do it on our own. He gives us the Holy Spirit to come alongside, to empower us, to enable us. And so my desire is that you would claim that power, the Holy Spirit, in your life today. Well, as we close this morning, I want to end with these couple of things here. We've said to be obedient, but I always ask the why question. Why? Why should I be obedient to God? Why should I? What's the motivation for obeying God? Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, it's respect and a reverence for who God is. You see, God is the ultimate authority. He's the God that we lift our hands up to and we sing praises to and we worship and we ascribe majesty and honor and glory to this wonderful, perfect, compassionate, faithful God. And if I disobey God, then I am disrespecting and I am discounting who God is. So one of the first things that should motivate me to be obedient is acknowledging who God is. This is the holy God, the sovereign of the whole universe, who gave his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross and shed his blood, to forgive us of our sin and of our own disobedience. And that should motivate us to want to live a godly life. So when I think about the motivation, who God is number one. And the second motivation is that we want to please God. Remember, God is not some distant, remote, unfeeling being way out there in outer space. Remember, we have a personal love relationship with God. And if we love someone, if you love someone, don't you want to please them? Don't you want to make them smile? Don't you want to bring pleasure to them? Don't you want to bring joy into their heart? I don't know about you, but out of sheer gratefulness and thankfulness, I want to please God. I don't want to displease him in a single area of my life. I've lived long enough to realize that displeasing him does not bring me peace or joy or happiness or anything else that I want in life. Pleasing him is always the right pathway. Not because we have to, not because we're forced to, but because we want to, because we love him. And why do we love him? Because he first loved us. So it's always the right pathway. Sometimes it's a very painful pathway, but it's still the best. And so we need to ask ourselves this question. Do I love God enough to obey him? Even when it's not convenient, even when it's not popular, do I love him that much? In a few moments, Kim is going to sing a song. But you know, we all have a choice. Every morning when you wake up, you have a choice. You can say, today I'm going to obey God. Or you can say, today I'm going to do what I want to do. And I've said it before, it's not easy to be obedient, but it's always the right thing to do. And you'll prove to be a blessing in your life every single time. So where does obedience begin? It begins in your life, just between you and God, and no one else. It began when you first heard the plan of salvation, when you heard that Jesus loves you, when you heard that he died on the cross for you. Back then, the Holy Spirit was at work in your heart. The Holy Spirit is at work right now, right in our midst. He's at work in your life right now, helping you to understand what you're hearing. He's already pointing out to you things in your life that are not right. Maybe you need to claim that verse this morning. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. We can be forgiven. And we can begin to live that godly life. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Help us to be obedient. As Kim comes and sings a beautiful song about coming to the cross, you pray in your own heart, just between you and God and no one else. And if there is some work to be done in your own heart, if the Holy Spirit is nudging you, you allow him to work in your life. You want to have a tender heart, because out of the heart everything flows. Our thoughts, our words, our actions. God wants us to have a tender heart. You pray as Kim sings. Let's pray together. And I'd like to pray for you this morning. There's a special need in your heart or your life. Just slip up your hand. I'll be happy to pray for you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There are many hands being raised. You know, living a life of obedience can be difficult, but it can also be so full of joy and peace. When we submit ourselves and surrender ourselves completely to the Lord, His Holy Spirit empowers us and makes us want to live that life of obedience. And we'll see the difference in our lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you always keep your word. You never have to worry about you changing your mind. We never have to worry about you ever forgetting anything or overlooking us. But you absolutely love us for all eternity. Father, help us to be obedient to your word. Not because we feel compelled or because we have to, but because we want to, because we love you so much. And we just want to bring pleasure to you. We want to bring a smile to your face. We want to be obedient children of yours, because you have been such a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father to us. And Father, we come to you in all of our humanity, with all of our warts and pimples and failures, and yet we can come to you and confess and bring to you everything, and you accept us, and you love us, and you forgive us, and you cleanse us, and then you help us along the way, and you send a helper, an encourager, a comforter, your Holy Spirit, to come alongside of us. So we're not walking this way alone, but you're with us every step of the way. And Lord, we thank you for that. And so I pray, Father, that we would claim the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit in each of our lives this morning. Help us, Lord, to be able to say, I'm living a life of obedience to my Heavenly Father. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.